Now let's take our Bibles and look in the fourth chapter of Romans as we again take up our study, please. This coming March, we will begin our 32nd year since our little family moved here. Troy and Michael, Connie and I was 38 at the time. Thought my days of pastoring and preaching were behind me, and I was fully settled with that. 4 years later, our pastor left, and the responsibility fell my way. And I believed what I was hearing was that God did all of the saving based upon Christ doing all of the obeying, that righteousness was earned at the cross, and God reckoned that righteousness at the cross. It wasn't a major battle in my mind to believe that. But I've been raised on justification by faith, and I knew that could not be any longer what I held to. So it was simple to me. But I found that the men that we fellowshiped with believed in justification by faith at the time of faith, and indeed upon the condition of faith, justified by faith and not without faith, they would say. Well, I had a decision to make, and I remember the struggle very well. Am I going to give in to the ways of the others, or am I going to preach what I believe? And, of course, you know me, so I had to stay with what I believed, and I had things to figure out. And one of the things that I had to figure out was, what about Abraham? This matter of Abraham is a critical issue. But I began with believing that everything, as far as the salvation of a sinner, took place at the cross, not in the heart, not in the mind, but at the cross, that it was a legal transaction between the persons of the Godhead. That legal salvation was worked out by Christ, accepted by God, and then reckoned by God. So what are we going to do with Abraham? How am I going to understand this matter of Abraham? So here's what I want to do this hour. One of the things I had to figure out was what to do with this discussion about faith, because the word faith appears 21 times from the first chapter of Romans to through the first two verses of the fifth chapter. But then the word faith doesn't appear at all from that second verse, or verse number 3 of chapter 5, all the way to the very end of the ninth chapter. So that can't be without consideration on the apostle's part. So what is it that he's saying to us about faith? And then you have the places in here where you have the article that appears before faith, but it's not translated by the translators. So how was I to understand that? So I had to do some study to try to figure this out. And all I can tell you is what I understand. And I ask you to consider these thoughts with me as I go through here. And I'm going to show you in these four chapters where the article appears and where it doesn't appear before the word faith. So I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 20 again of chapter 4, where it says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. So what God had said to him back in the Old Testament concerning being justified was a promise. And God had promised him that there would be many who would follow. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's how he would stagger, if he unbelieved. But he was strong in, and then between the word in and the word faith is the article the faith, giving glory to God. So when I studied these things out, and I'm still studying them out, when I studied them out, I wondered about the absence of this article in front of them. Now, what difference does it make? Well, when article is used in the Greek language, it is to designate something. And it's something that's objective. It's a designation of something. But when the article is left out, then it's the essence of a thing. He's describing what it is. But so we see this word, the, before faith, and it's a designation of something. So I think you'll understand this as we go along. So I want you to go back with me to the first chapter, and join me in this little study. First of all, they put in an article in verse 5 where it shouldn't be there. So I'm going to show you that in verse number 5. By whom, that is Christ, we have received grace and apostleship. He attributed the grace of God coming to him and him being set forth as an apostle. And then he said, for obedience, and then it says, to the faith. But here's what I want you to see. The word for is normally a Greek preposition, a Greek interrogative, actually, that would be gar, G-A-R. But it's not gar, it's eis, E-I-S. And eis is into. So it's into obedience and then of, and there's no article there, faith. So that's the way that would be translated. We have apostleship for into obedience of faith. I understand that doesn't read very well, but I want you to go with me to the very last chapter. And I want you to look at verse 26 of this last chapter. Now this is more accurately translated. They didn't put the article in, so you wonder why the translators put it in one place and not the other, and I can't honestly tell you. But if you'll look in verse 26 of chapter 16, it says, for, they put the article in front of the obedience, but not the faith, but there's no article there at all. It simply is into obedience of faith. So if it were translated like that in the first chapter, it'd be better. But what we see, these two statements are at the bookends of Revelation, of Romans. So why does he have these two bookends together? It is because he is calling men, Jews and Gentiles, to obedience of faith to what he's going to say to them. And what he says to them is in between those two points, describing to them what this gospel is all about. So I don't mean to make that difficult for you to hear, but he's simply telling us that he's calling men to faith. He didn't diminish faith, nor do we diminish faith. But he called others to believe this one faith, which he called the faith, and so do we. So with that one exception of him putting in the article the, now I want you to look at some places where they did not put it in, but it should be put in. All right, look with me, please, here to verse number 12. And he said, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. So when he uses this little phrase, the mutual faith, now he's changed over to talking about that one settled body of truth. I say it's one settled body because there's not one for people of one culture, one for people of another culture. It is one settled, it's finished, it's completed, it's not changing, settled, and it's a full body. It's telling us about who God is, it's telling us about who Christ is, telling us what man is, telling us about his sin, about the fall, it's telling us about the salvation that had to be rendered. So now he talks about that mutual faith that is both yours and mine. Then if you'll look down to verse number 16, and in verse number 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And then he described what he means by that, the Jew first and also the Greek. Why the Jew first? Because the gospel first came to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For therein, in verse 17, is the righteousness of God revealed. And that is, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. So a man who preaches the gospel preaches the righteousness of God and cannot preach the gospel without preaching the righteousness of God. And it is revealed. Now we learn the purpose of personal faith. It is revealed from faith to faith. All right, I want you to look at the word from. This is a very important little distinction that you need to see. You may want to write this down. You won't remember it. It is revealed from, and that word from is not actually from, but it's ek, which is out of. It's revealed out of faith. And then again, you have the preposition into, which is eis, and that's into. Revealed out of faith and into faith. What does he mean by that? Why does he put these two together? Well, he puts these two together because he's talking about, when he says out of faith, he's talking about that one settled body of truth. And when he talks about into faith, he's talking about that which comes to inside of us. Now, you know I like to read old Westerns. And one of the favorite things that I read, if I can come across a Western that's talking about a cowboy that's out in the desert. And at times these stories will go and the cowboy loses his horse and he loses his hat and his shoes are wearing out and he's just about to thirst to death. But he finally comes to a cool stream where there's just a little bit of water that's trickling out off of a mountainside and he's able to get something to drink. Well, I never liked illustrations like this, but I want you to think of the faith as that cool body of water, that cool little stream there. And when he drinks it in, he takes it into him, that is into. So it's out of and into. It's out of that settled body of truth, which he's about to describe, and it's into the inward man. So we talk about Abraham's faith, we're talking about that faith which is in him, but what God preached to him is that settled body of truth, and that's the faith. We also learned the nature of personal faith. Personal faith is for the purpose of revelation. It's not for the purpose of appropriation, but it's revelation. Now then, I want you to turn. The word faith doesn't appear in the rest of chapter 1. It doesn't appear all in chapter 2. The word faith does not appear again until you come to chapter 3. So I want you to look in chapter 3, and I want you to look in verse number 3. Verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The faith of God. Now, you may have a translation that interprets that the faithfulness of God. Any of you have something like that says the faithfulness of God? But if it were the faithfulness of God, it would be structured different in the Greek language. And the article wouldn't be before faith. It would most likely be before God. But here, it is strictly just like it says. It is the faith of God. Now, how does that make sense? Well, go back to chapter 1. And I want you to look in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So the gospel of God and the faith of God, it's the same thing, very same thing. In other words, the gospel is a settled body of truth. It doesn't fluctuate. It's not different in one place than it is another. It's not different for the Baptists, for the Catholics, not different for the Charismatics and the Sovereign Gracers. There is only one gospel. There's just one gospel, and it's called the gospel of God. Now, when it says the faith of God, it doesn't mean that God has faith in something outside himself, but it means it's that faith which belongs to him. He designed it. He authored it. He brought it to pass. He worked it out. He accepted it. And then what we're going to see is that he reckoned that faith, the merit of that faith, he reckoned that to Abraham. It's an odd way of thinking to you and to me, but he reckoned the merit of that to Abraham. Now, there is another place where it refers to the faithfulness of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, it says that God abideth faithful. But there's no article there. And the context is altogether different. And there he's simply talking about God being faithful to him as a preacher. But here he's setting forth the faith of God against what the Jews believed to what they held. Then I want you to look a little further down in chapter 3. Look down to verse 22. But in order to understand verse 22, you have to read also verse 21. So look at verse 21. And now the righteousness of God without the law. That's a very important little phrase right there. And that is the article with the law. So he's talking about the law of Moses. And he's about to make a contrast. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by, and then between by and faith, you should have the article. At this point, it is an ellipsis, and that means a word that is carried over from a thought that you've had before. So here the thought before is the law, and the contrast is the faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. All right, hold your place. In case you say, well, I don't know if I can accept that or not. Go with me to a comparative verse. Go with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Hold your place, but go to Galatians 2. And look in verse 16. Verse 16 of Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, and then they have a good translation here this time, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So the faith of Jesus Christ here and the faith of Jesus Christ back over here are the same. It's just that he didn't put the article in because he did that with an ellipsis. From verse 21, the law and the faith. And then the summation of it to understand it is that a man is not justified by anything having to do with something he would do with the law, but he's justified by that faith, that one settled body of truth that belongs to Jesus Christ. So it's the mutual faith. It's the faith that's out of man, but consumed into man. I'm in the first chapter. It's the faith of God in chapter 3. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Now go with me to verse 25, back in chapter 3 again. So he talked about the faith of Jesus Christ, and he said, I'm just going to read from that point, by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, that would mean Jews and Gentiles, for there is no difference between a Jew and a Gentile, for all did sin, that means with Adam, that's explained in 5:12, and come short of the glory of God, that's our actual sins, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God did set forth a propitiation through, and now we come to this, and it's literally by means of the faith. It's time the article should be there, so you should have between through and faith, you'd have the article, through the faith in, or you could put which, I like the word which there, which is in connection. That's what the word in is here. Through the faith which is in connection with His blood. So when He's talking about the faith, He's talking about this propitiation, the setting forth of God, the bloody sacrifice, and the faith which is in connection with His blood. So the summation of it all is that the faith is in connection with the blood, and it is not in connection with man's faith. And then if you go on down to verse 27, where is the boasting then? Same thing that he brings up back over here when he talks about the glory of God. How is it that man would have reason to boast? In verse 25, God is the just one and the justifier. As you've heard me say before, His attribute of justice and His work as justifier came together in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how and when men were justified. If that is so, how is it that a man would have any reason to boast? Well, he wouldn't, of course. So we ask another question. It's a rhetorical question. It's excluded by what? The law, he means to say. The law of works? Nay, but by the law of the faith. That's how it is. That's how it is excluded. It is excluded by the law of the faith. There we conclude that a man is justified by the faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? No, of the Gentiles also. Seeing he is the one God which shall justify the circumcision, that's the Jews, by that same faith that he's talking about, and the circumcision through that same faith. So the article's in all these places, that same faith. Do we make void the law through the faith? The article's there. God forbid, yea, we establish the law. How? By this faith. What the law does is it completes. What the faith does is it completes the law. Christ completed the law, so it established the law. And so all of that said, that brings us to chapter number 4. I know it's confusing as you go through there, but he's talking about the faith, that is the faith of God and the faith of Christ. Now we begin with chapter number 4, and we go down to verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? And he quotes then from Genesis 15 and verse 5, 6. Abraham believed God, and it, that is what God preached to him, he believed. He had to have something to believe. And what he believed was what God preached to him. He believed God, what he preached to him, and it, what God preached to him, was counted to him for righteousness. Now, as you're going through this chapter, this is called a promise. And this promise is going to be fulfilled in Christ. But it's that faith that he's talking about. And then to look with me to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, and then between his and faith, so it's not actually his, it's simply the faith is counted for righteousness. The faith is counted for righteousness. The one God preached, the one he believed, the one that is the actual faith and not his personal faith. Go down to verse number 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? He's already asked that question back in verse in chapter 3. For we say that, again, you have the article, that the faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So you have literally, the faith was reckoned to Abraham. So we talk about the imputation of righteousness, phrases like this that we get this from. Verse number 11. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. It's a seal of the righteousness of the faith, the article's there, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all, them that believe, though they be not circumcised, so he's talking about the Gentiles, that the righteousness by might be imputed to them also. So he simply is telling us that this faith is for Gentiles as well as Jews. When you come to verse 13, there are no articles in this verse at all for the promise. It's really just the promise. It's just promise. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, no article at all, but through the righteousness, no article there, of faith. No place did they put the article in the verse number 13. But don't you love the little phrase, for the promise, for promise. So it's that promise that God made to him, the one that he's talking about. Verse number 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs of, this time you have the article, before the faith, so it's the faith is made void. For if they which are of the law be heirs of the faith, it is made void. So you make void the faith. If you can be justified by the law, then you make void the faith. You can't have both. You can't have both the law and the faith. They mutually exclude each other. Look in verse 16. We talked about this last week. Therefore it is, there's no article here, but you have the preposition out of. Therefore it is out of faith. That same out of that he used back in the first chapter, and he uses this phrase to describe this settled body of truth, though without using the article at this point. Then if you look down at the last part of verse 16, but to that also which is out of, and this time he does use the article, which is out of the faith of Abraham. It's not his personal faith, it's that faith which God promised to reckon to him, and which God preached to him. Look at verse 19. And being not weak, this time the article is here, being not weak in the faith, and then that brings us to our verse. He staggered not, in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. So both verse 19 and verse 20, He was not weak, but he was strong, and he staggered not, both times in the faith. All right, I'm about to bring it to a stop. Faith in chapter 1 appears 4 times. Faith in chapter 2 appears no times. Faith in chapter 3 appears 8 times. Faith in chapter 4 appears 9 times. So in chapter 3 and chapter 4, mostly in the last part of chapter 3, there are 17 times that he refers to the word faith. And then in chapter 5, he uses the word faith, therefore being justified, then that's where your comma should be, by faith we have peace toward our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by, and then here the article should be, by the faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. And from that point, you think of the importance of chapter 8, for example, but no use of the word faith. What he's been describing is the objective faith, the settled body of faith. But he does refer to personal faith. For example, he refers to those who believe and those who believe not. In chapter 4, in verse 19, where he uses the word consider, he considered, he thought about it, he meditated upon it. And he meditated it so thoroughly that he believed it. That's what he means by the word considered. And then, of course, the word staggered not, and the word strong, and that phrase fully persuaded, all refer to his personal faith. So we do not diminish the fact of the personal faith. But otherwise, faith, when it's used in all of this passage, he's talking about the objective faith which God preached and which he believed. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 2, it says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." When he says unto them, he's talking about those before the coming of Christ, those in the Old Testament. The gospel was preached to them. We've already read the gospel was preached to Abraham. It says that directly in Galatians 3 and 8. The gospel was preached to them. The gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel was preached to us, those saints in the Old Testament. Then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, he adds, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." How can there be any rest if it depends upon something that you do yourself? Either you're believing or you're working. How would you ever know that it was sufficient enough? But they entered into rest. And so what we're hearing about Abraham is that he entered into this rest. The message to all saints of all times is, "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself." And what did Jude call that? Jude called that the common faith, we read a few moments ago, the common faith, the faith to which we were once delivered. The common salvation, the faith to which we were once delivered. The same thing that Jude was talking about, Paul is talking about. And in chapter 6 and in verse number 17, while he doesn't use the word faith, he talks about it as that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Well, that's where Abraham found rest. That's where all in the Old Testament found rest. Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, they all found rest in that promised Messiah. They look forward to him. We look back upon him. Their faith was as real to them as our personal faith is to us. No difference. Other than they look forward to it, we look back upon it. God must make it real in the heart. They rested in it, and so do we.